This is our children's Sabbath today. So Mr. Brandon and I are here. My name's Brad. I'm one of the pastors here. We are here to support our children as they lead us in worship this day. It's going to be a beautiful morning. They have been working on their parts. I know many of them had scripts at home and were working through all their readings. It's going to be a beautiful day. We also have communion, which they will help lead us in. We get to celebrate baptism, which is one of the reasons we invite our children into worship in this way. We love them here every single week, but we also want to make sure they recognize that they have a place in leading us in worshiping God. It's part of the commitment we make to them at their baptism, that we will invite them into our life as a community. And so we'll do that together today. I do know that following worship, we invite you to make your way downstairs. Coffee hour, there's coffee, there's snacks. The most importantly, there's good people. I mean, in a minute, I'm going to invite you to shake each other's hands and say hi. That's really nice. You don't get to know somebody that way. Take a minute downstairs over a cup of coffee and find out how much we all share in common and how great it is to be together. Join us downstairs. Another way for you to get more connected is to fill out one of the blue cards that's in the pews. Those let us know who you are, let us know how you are, let us know what we can pray about for you. And if you don't receive emails from us, make sure you have checked the box that says I'd like to, and we can keep you in the loop on things that are going on with reminders and updates. It's like once a week, maybe once and a half. So we invite you to get, I know, half an email. Think about that. But we invite you to be connected with us. Let's take a moment now and greet one another. Find someone you haven't met before, then find someone you've seen, haven't seen in a while. As you make your way back towards your seats, I'd love to catch you up on a few things. We have lots of great things going on. Of course, there's a list of some of the upcoming small groups in your bulletin. If you came in the 32nd Avenue entrance, you notice this really cool red towery thing right out on the edge of the street. That's a bike repair station. Our green team coordinated the church to provide for the neighborhood. You get to hang your bike right on there so you can do work on it, things like this. All the tools are in the middle. It's really cool. You'll see some stories on it in the local papers and other things like that. It's a really neat thing to get to offer the neighborhood. We're excited about it. Bike to Church Day will be June 12th, and the folks from Slow High Bike Company are going to come up and offer a little workshop on how to use all the bike tools that are hanging in the repair station. And so that'll be a really nice thing as well. So that'll be really fun. Dates for Vacation Bible School are in the bulletin. Please share those with friends and neighbors. It's going to be evenings this summer. We've done it in the daytime / mornings for a while. We're going to give the evenings a go, see if that works better for some families. That'll be a wonderful opportunity. The only other announcement I have that I want to take a moment to catch you up on is General Conference. A week from tomorrow, I head to Portland for 12 days to do the work of the church. God willing, it won't just be church work. The hope is that we get to help shape and guide where the United Methodist Church is going as a denomination. Now, this is a global gathering. 45% of the people there that will be voting are from the Africa and the Philippines and some wonderful places from around the world. It's a very complicated political process. I'll send back some notes. It's my hope that while I'm gone, there's one Sunday I won't be here on the 15th, which is Pentecost. This is a big deal, because if the Holy Spirit actually gets to do with the church what the Holy Spirit actually wants to do, the church will be in a good place. Mac Laverne, Reverend Mac, is going to preach while I'm gone, and we're going to set up one of the TVs so I can Skype in and at least say hi and catch you up on what's going on in Portland. I do ask for your continued prayers for the denomination as we figure things out and do our best to listen to God. So I'd invite our acolytes to bring the light in, reminding us of that Spirit that leads us forward in this world.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Thank you, God, for this new day.
Thanks for work and thanks for play.
Thanks for families,
life and love,
all your gifts
sent from above.
Our first hymn can be found in the red hymnal, number 62, All Creatures of Our God and King. We will sing verses 1 through 3.
Seated, if you would. This morning we get to celebrate in the sacrament of baptism with Cameron and his family. Cameron, bow tie. Nice sartorial choice. I like it. I got an interesting little thing in the mail this week. The first time I ever helped out with a baptism was on a youth Sunday in the church I grew up in. And I got to help with the I got that kid's graduation announcement in the mail this week. That was fun. So, Cameron, we're going to celebrate your baptism today and God's love for you. Now, Cameron is here with Mom, Callie, Dad, Ben, big brother Julian is here. And now we'll introduce the other family in just a minute. But we got you all surrounded by the people who love you. Now, Mr. Brandon lit a baptism candle for you. And we're going to invite you to take that home. And every year on the anniversary of this, on May Day, you get to light that candle, sing Jesus Loves Me, and blow it out. And remember that God and this whole church family love you so much. Now, Cameron is 2 years old. On Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah, now Cameron, his first name was a favorite of his parents. And then his middle name is his mom's maiden name, Passeth. And that also gives you the same initials as your mom. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah, but you also got your dad's last name. And so it's everybody, all in there. A special guest this morning, Ben and her husband, Dan. Ben's dad, Bill, is thinking of you while he's in South Carolina, but he's thinking of you this morning. And then Callie's folks, Ginny and Richard, are with us. This is just a beautiful thing to celebrate. And I invite us as a community to remember our own baptism as we do for. For members of the community of faith, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God demonstrated in the life, teachings, and resurrection of Jesus. Through this grace, we are invited to new life and welcomed into the family of God. In receiving baptism, we are initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. And so, beloved, in presenting Cameron for baptism this day,
Do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, who offers new life to us? If so, please answer, we do. Do you promise to live the kind of life that Jesus lived in his presence, to be careful that he be taught that same kind of life, that he be taught the scriptures, that he be led into the worship of God? If so, please answer, we do. And will you lead him into following the ministry and guidance of the universal fellowship of the church until he finds his own faith and becomes a full participant in his own right? If so, please answer, we will. This is where the water is going to go. In fact, we're doing that right now. Brandon, would you grab the water? We're going to give it to the grandmas, and they're going to pour the water in, and then you can help your big brother stir it, okay? Julie, we're going to stir the water in just a second. You ready to be my helper? Awesome. Ladies, if you would pour the water in, Brandon will offer our prayer. Did you unmute yourself?
Pouring the water,
it's okay, Julian, come here.
Will be. We are the people of the water. We worship you, O God, whose love flows through water. Love like a rain shower awakens the sleeping seed in the soil. Love like a wading pool inspires the delight of children. Love like a hot shower cleanses and refreshes. Love like little drops drip from fingertips to forehead. Through this gift, the family of faith makes room for more. We claim your boundless love as we ask your blessing upon this water. Steep this family and congregation in your boundless grace. Amen.
I'm glad you're interested in it, because you're about to get some on your head.
Smashing on his head.
Yeah, too. Right there. That's fantastic. What name is given this lovely child?
Cameron Passoth Barron.
Cameron Passoth Barron. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and pray God's blessings upon you. And then we also offer a little bit of a blessing. And I was going to ask Julian, do you want to show him what this is like? Do you want me to put oil on your forehead too? No, that's okay. That's fine. Cameron, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you might live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're all going to huddle in and we're going to pray for your little brother, okay? Do you want to hold his hand or his foot and let grandmas and grandpas and everybody get in here too? Yeah. Good job. God, we give thanks that through this beautiful ritual and the symbol of water, we can be reminded of your love for this wonderful child. We give thanks for all who Cameron is becoming and who he is yet to show us he will be. May his beautiful spirit be shared with the world that we might all be made better for it. For he is a gift, and we will love him for it. God, we give you thanks and ask your blessing upon this family as they continue to nurture and surround him with love. May his church family strive to do the same. Amen. Amen. People of Highlands United Methodist family, I commit to your love and care, Cameron Passoth Barron. They can keep checking it out. I'm totally cool with that. Whom we now recognize as a member of the family of God and one with us. Will you help welcome him in the fullness of love as we join in the congregational promise together? It's found in your bulletin. Cameron Passoth Barron, we joyfully recognize you as a member of the family of God. With God's help, we will live our lives by the example of Christ, that you may be surrounded by love, formed in faith, and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. Everybody, meet Cameron. You want to walk him around while we sing? I'd invite all of the children to come down for children's time this morning. We almost did adult time since the kids are running worship, but I invite all the kids to come join us for children's time.
Here in the family of God, we learn to worship and pray.
So we can live as Jesus taught.
So there's a story in the Bible of a little boy who spent a lot of time at church. In fact, he lived at church. And one day he was sleeping at the church and he heard his name. Samuel, Samuel. And he thought it was the guy that worked at the church. So he got up and he ran in there and he said, "Here I am, what do you need?" And the guy was like, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." So Samuel went back to his bed. And then again, as he was starting to fall asleep, he heard his name, Samuel. Sam, what? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? And there's Eli again. "I don't need anything. I didn't call you." This happens like two or three times. And finally, Samuel runs in. He's like, "Why do you keep calling me?" And the guy's like, "I didn't call you. Oh, I wonder if it's God. So here's what I want you to do, Samuel. The next time you hear your name, I want you to just say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Which is honestly a very funny thing to have to say in the middle of the night. And so, Samuel is asleep. Samuel hears his name, and instead of running to see Eli, this time he just says, "Okay, God, what's going on?" Actually, the Bible says he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But I think he really just said, "God, what do you need?" And God invited Samuel to do great things. In fact, some people thought that God couldn't be talking to Samuel because he was too little. And this is one of the times God tells us, "No, no, no, no. I work with people of all ages." All ages. Now, when God calls, sometimes we don't actually hear a voice. I've never actually heard, "Bradley." But I know that God calls me. Brandon, have you ever heard Brandon hollered from some cloud or some mountain? No. But Brandon is called. And each of you, even though you may not hear your name spoken, God is saying, "I need you to love people and to be a good helper in the world, and to forgive people when they make mistakes, and do your best every single day." God calls each of us, even if it isn't with a voice. Can you guys, let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for choosing us, for choosing everyone to do your work. We need your help. Loving people can be hard sometimes. Forgiving people can be hard sometimes. But your love is big enough, God. Help us live it. Amen. Let's do that children's motto together. In all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, may we glorify you. Amen.
No, there is no Sunday school today. Yeah, no. Yeah, so there is no Sunday school today, so we'll just go back with our families. There is the nursery downstairs. Yes.
Thank you.
As we enter our time of prayer, we take a moment for joys and concerns to listen for things we might hold in prayer for one another in this moment and, of course, throughout the week and weeks to come. And I wonder what things we might hold in prayer this morning. Joys or concerns that people wish to share? Yes, I believe there's a joy in the back here.
There is a great joy. As many people know, our grandson was born Friday, Weston Avery.
Weston Avery. Very, very excited to hear. Wonderful. London is now a big sister. Big responsibility. Marvelous. We'll go back in the fort. Yes, ma'am. Congratulations. And because you don't hear it enough, thank you. And thank you to all those who care for our kids in that way. Holly?
I'm just asking for prayers for my friend Leland, who's traveling to see his sister Lynette, who has brain cancer.
So Leland, Holly's friend Leland, traveling to visit an ill sister who has brain cancer. So prayers for his travel, for their time together, and for her healing. Absolutely. In the back. Because your grandma was admitted to the hospital this week. Okay, so prayers for her and your whole family. Absolutely. Mona? So Mona's uncle Joe had a pacemaker installed last week. Things aren't working the way they need to, so he's going back in tomorrow looking for more hope and some more healing. Certainly in our prayers. Other joys or concerns, Bruce. Your annual sojourn to... So our prayers for Bruce's daughter, who's been living in chronic pain and finally figured out what it is, and there's not a ton of options with some degenerative discs and other things. And then prayers for your travel as you enjoy the beauty of our national parks and time on the road, certainly. Other joys or concerns to keep in mind? Karen? But you are special. Don't read into that the wrong way.
We had a wonderful art show. People came hanging out for us. But what I want to say is, my song is done. I must be gone. I can no longer stay. God bless you all, both great and small, and bring you a joyful day.
Thank you, Karen. Other joys or concerns to check in on? If not, I'm going to invite Angelina is going to lead us with Krista in our psalm this morning. Angelina's going to do some reading, some singing. And you guys will, so I invite you to turn to page 743 in your red hymnal. After we do, so we're going to hear the music, and you guys will take care of that part. Following the psalm, we'll take a minute in silence. And then the pastoral prayer today was written by Cole Franklin. In fact, Cole's someone we've been keeping in our prayers these last few weeks as he continues to figure out some health stuff. Though he's not with us this morning, he sent his words. And they're amazing, and we will be blessed by them. So let us join in our psalm together.
Sing praise to God, who is your name in all the earth.
Your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants.
You have set up a defense against your foes,
to the enemy, still
the enemy and the avenger.
Look at your heavens, the work of your fingers.
The moon and the stars which you have established.
What are human beings that you are mindful of them?
And mortals that you care for them.
Yet you have made them little less than God.
And crowned them glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen.
And also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea.
Whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth. Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation.
God, we give you thanks that in the quiet you hear our hearts. We come here today to celebrate the gifts that children can bring. Through ice cream and bright colors, Fisher-Price fun time and absolute silliness, and even through frustrating evenings with uneaten mac and cheese and whining that only little ones can supply, children are our innocent gifts. We have all experienced hearing some unknown wisdom of our youth, and their greatest ignorance and innocence speaking a language we never knew existed before. Something that is familiar and nostalgic. Imaginative and daring, children teach themselves things about the world in ways adults cannot comprehend. Things of angelic understanding. Things that will change when the real world stuff kicks in. Learning becomes a child's middle name. Simple things, like thinking that clouds come from factories, or that the moon follows you, or that trees make the wind blow. These are real because they make sense through a child's eyes. May the children of this church feel truly as blessed as part of the unique community of Highlands United Methodist Church. May we all help to raise them, to learn of God's love and care. May they continue to be a gift to our church, delighting in the Lord's love forever. We pray this in Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. We'll remain seated, but we'll sing 2233 in the black hymnal. We'll sing it twice through.
Mm-hmm. might be long. Welcome, as part of the worshiping throng. Water gods, good red and what rare and strong. This is where children belong.
We have all heard our fair share of cliches, and I'm sure we have all said our fair share as well. And as I have gotten older, I begin to view cliches and stereotypes, for that matter, as somewhat as a necessary evil. Or at least something that helps create a sense of order in, at times, seems like an orderless world. There are certain situations where it is nice to know that we belong. Being with family, with friends, cultural celebrations, a faith community. Now, of course, in my younger years, and especially when I was first coming out, I was adamantly against placing myself in any sort of box or any category. I was determined I was going to be something the world had never seen, and that could never fit into any box. Hindsight is so funny, isn't it? Now, during this period of my life, I remember being with my parents at a restaurant, and they wanted to talk to me about a few things. And especially at this age, we all love those kind of conversations. Granted, I was around 17 or 18 and in full force teenage adolescence, so I'm sure it was somewhat warranted. Still, I probably got a bit defensive because how could this be? I was being me. I was going to be the next big thing, something the world was waiting for. After all, I am the spitting image of both my parents. What they wanted to talk about was not so much a stereotype or about the person we all believe that God created me or us to be. Their concern was real. They wanted to talk with me about being sure I was living the most authentic life possible, whatever that may be for myself. Now, being the kind of child I was, I took what they said seriously because I did value their opinion, and I knew where they were coming from. However, I was having fun. I was comfortable. I was 17. Now, there are cliches about everything, one which I've already said you're the spitting image of, but there's also ones like father like son. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, growing like a weed. Hopefully you have noticed a theme with these cliches, and not just that they provide some very true imagery about life, but that they are cliches about childhood. There are many more out there, yet there is one that resonates deep within me, and it may be the most used or the most we hear a lot, but it is kids say the darndest things. It resonates with me because, in my opinion, what it means is kids speak the truth. Kids seek the truth. And at this time, I do invite Greta to come forward. She's going to read a scripture reading for us.
A reading from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called a little child over to sit among the disciples and said, "I assure you that if you don't turn your lives around and become like this little child, you will definitely not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who humble themselves like this little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
And I am fortunate enough, and I'll speak for the many adult volunteers as well, that week after week we get to experience the curiosity, hear truth being spoken. We get to see their minds work as they grapple with ideas and concepts like the kingdom of heaven. I mean, you can see it in their eyes and how they picture and visualize what it may look like. I mean, the words kingdom and heaven, it's pretty neat. I want to say it was about my second year at Highlands. It was Palm Sunday, and the children were all coming down. They were waving their branches, and we were all set for children's time. And it was the beginning of Holy Week, and a lot was going to be happening. I wanted to give the kids a brief description of the week events. So on Monday, I said, on Monday, cleansing the temple. Tuesday was a big teaching day. Wednesday, nothing was really recorded. Probably Jesus was resting. He was staying with his friends in Bethany. Thursday, Friday, the Last Supper, Saturday on the cross, Sunday, and then what happened, I asked. What happened? Suddenly, a little girl raised her hand so very proudly. to declare what happened next. She said, "He escaped." And this coming from the mouth of babes. And it is so true, kids do say the darndest things. There is the sense of fearlessness that children embody, a desire to speak and share the truth, and it is truly a beautiful thing. At this point, I invite Ian to come forward. He's going to read one last scripture.
A reading from Matthew chapter 19, verse 14 to 15. Some people brought children to Jesus so that he would place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples scolded him. "Allow the children to come to me," Jesus said. "Don't forbid them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like these children." Then he blessed the children and went away from them.
Each week we welcome our children into this community of faith. We see them walking, or more like running, skipping, hopping down for children's time. Every week we are blessed to witness the kingdom of heaven right here. I often ask myself, how can I as an adult once again touch that space that empowers, that mobilizes, and most importantly, humbles me? How can we in our adult daily routines walk or run and hop to the kingdom of heaven? Because the kingdom is around us. The image on the front of your bulletin is quite profound. In it, the children are whole. The adults are not. As we grow and experience life, we all deal with the good and the sorrow that comes along with it. We manage, we cope, because we have to. We fracture a bit. We have so many other people who rely on us in our lives, our employees, our aging parents, our own children. We carry the burdens of so many. Again, how can we reach that space that connects with us, connects with the utter joy of being a child of God? No matter what age we achieve, we are children of God. To push aside our adult anxieties, fears, doubts, and embarrassments, and to lead a life with excitement of that of a child. I'm going to take this moment to pivot a little bit and recognize the sad reality that there are too many children in our community and around the world that carry very real grief with them. Unfortunately, children are not immune from the big world problems that they cannot control. From war-torn countries to our own homelessness and affordable housing crisis we see happening in our very city, children carry with them the stress and the sorrows of their caregivers. What can we do about this? Also, I'd like to recognize that for us, going to that space of childhood certainly brings up a variety of emotions. Yet, if we were able to even grasp at that space, to skim the surface of the joy of childhood, and even the painful parts of childhood, I believe we could unleash a potential in our adult self, not only to heal whatever may need to be healed from our youth, but to open this beautiful space in our heart to help and carry the ease of the pain of the children in our world. I believe our call from Jesus is just that, as adults, to mirror back the gift of what children are so easily able to provide, for this to fuel a life of justice and compassion. We see this every day, every week, with the children that surround us here. May we continue to celebrate, cherish, and mirror back the beauty of all this. Doing this, I believe, from deep down in my soul, will help us to once again lead a life of excitement. At this time, I invite Jack and Annika to come forward.
As Jack and Annika make their way forward, I invite you to grab your bulletin and your black hymnal. 2257 is where we'll find the music. And there's one little spot in the bulletin they'll invite us to join as well.
Let us celebrate God's presence in our lives and be grateful.
The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, prepare us to receive all that you offer as we celebrate your unending grace. May we embrace it and live in such a way that we all might be blessed. Amen. We are truly blessed. Please join me as found in your bulletin. We are truly blessed.
It is good to be God's people.
We are known and loved
by a God who has created us.
Even in our failures,
God's love remains.
God reaches out to us
in this and every moment,
changing our lives
in ways we cannot comprehend.
And so we celebrate that gift as we add our voices to a chorus of thanks that has gone on for generation after generation.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
God, you certainly are good. You have given us everything. You have given everything to us, including the choice to worship you.
So in this place, we have come together to be your people. As we praise you, we celebrate the life story and the gift of Jesus, your Son, and the ultimate example of the depth of your love, a love Jesus was demonstrating for his disciples when he gathered his friends to share a meal.
For when they were gathered, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you, to remind you of the fullness of my love for you."
After the meal, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is my life poured out for you and for many. Remember me and my love every time you drink from it."
Jesus offered the simple way for those who love him to remember a mystery of faith that we will never fully understand.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
O God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them for us the body and the love of Christ, so that in turn we might be the body of Christ for the world. Make us one in your Spirit, Lord, bound together through your grace. For all honor and glory are yours now and forevermore. Let the people sing. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
At HUMC, communion is open to all people, regardless of age or background. This is God's table of grace.
We invite you to come forward at the direction of the ushers. Open your hands to receive the grace that God offers. When you receive the bread, please dip it into the cup and then eat.
If you would benefit from receiving communion in your seat, simply let an usher know. If you need a gluten-free option, it is available right over there. Make your way to that station and let us know.
The table is set, and those who are serving are prepared to offer God's grace to you. Let us share together.
Thank you. Please join me in the offertory prayer. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have and what we do, and even more who we are, that generosity might transform the world. Amen. Thank you. ascending prayer. God, we
give you thanks. You love us as we are and claim us as your own. Help us to find and claim our place in this world, a place where our passion meets the world's needs. The world's need for what we can do and who we are. May we be a part of extending your invitation of loving relationship to all people, that they might know they matter to us, to you,
and the world.
Amen. Our closing hymn is in your green hymnal number 3149. We'll just sing verses 1 through 3.
Everyone born a place at the table, for everyone born clean water and bread, a shelter, a space, a safe place for growing, for everyone born a star overhead, and God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. Table, revising the roles, deciding the share, with wisdom and grace, dividing the power, for woman and man, a system that's fair, and God will delight, creators of justice and joy. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. For young and for old, a place at the table, a voice to be heard, a part in the song. The hands of a child in hands that are wrinkled, for young and for old, the right to belong. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. May
we continue to relish in seeing the kingdom of God brought to life each week by our children. And may we take that joy out into the world and know that we too are children of God. Amen.